Today is the 12th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today, gathering again, like finding our little places here around the global campfire for another day, another step, another opportunity to be together, another opportunity to take the next step in our lives together and in the scriptures together. And I am deeply grateful for you. I'm deeply grateful for this place. One of the safest places in my life. Here. And the scriptures where it's really predictable what's happening. So I'm grateful to be here with you today. Let us move forward. We're working our way through the book of Ezekiel at this point. Today, Ezekiel chapters 24, 25, and 26. In the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, record this date, this very date, because the king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day. Tell this rebellious people a parable and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Put on the cooking pot. Put it on and pour water into it. Put into it the pieces of meat, all the choice pieces, the leg and the shoulder. Fill it with the best of these bones. Take the pick of the flock. Pile wood beneath it for the bones. Bring it to a boil and cook the bones in it. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed, to the pot now encrusted, whose deposit will not go away. Take the meat out piece by piece in whatever order it comes. For the blood she shed is in her midst. She poured it on the bare rock. She did not pour it on the ground where the dust would cover it. To stir up wrath and take revenge, I put her blood on the bare rock so that it would not be covered. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed. I too will pile the wood high. So heap on the wood and kindle the fire. Cook the meat well, mixing in the spices, and let the bones be charred. Then set the empty pot on the coals till it becomes hot and its copper glows, so that its impurities may be melted and its deposit burned away. It has frustrated all efforts. Its heavy deposit has not been removed, not even by fire. Now your impurity is lewdness. Because I tried to cleanse you, but you would not be cleansed from your impurity, you will not be clean again until my wrath against you has subsided. I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to act. I will not hold back. I will not have pity, nor will I relent. You will be judged according to your conduct and your actions, declares the sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, with one blow, I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Yet do not lament or weep or shed any tears. Groan quietly. Do not mourn for the dead. Keep your turban fastened and your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your mustache and beard or eat the customary food of mourners. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening, my wife died. The next morning I did as I had been commanded. Then the people asked me, "Won't you tell us what these things have to do with us? Why are you acting like this?" So I said to them, the word of the Lord came to me. say to the people of Israel, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am about to desecrate my sanctuary, the stronghold in which you take pride, the delight of your eyes, the object of your affection. The sons and daughters you left behind will fall by the sword, and you will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache and beard or eat the customary food of mourners. You will keep your turbans on your heads and your sandals on your feet. You will not mourn or weep, but will waste away because of your sins and groan among yourselves. Ezekiel will be a sign to you. You will do just as he has done. When this happens, you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. And you, son of man, on the day I take away their stronghold, their joy and glory, the delight of their eyes, their heart's desire, and their sons and daughters as well, on that day a fugitive will come to tell you the news. At that time your mouth will be opened. You will speak with him and will no longer be silent. So you will be a sign to them, and they will know that I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to them, hear the word of the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you said, aha, over my sanctuary, when it was desecrated, and over the land of Israel, when it was laid waste, and over the people of Judah, when they went into exile. Therefore, I am going to give you to the people of the east as a possession. They will set up their camps and pitch their tents among you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. I will turn Rabbah into a pasture for camels and Ammon into a resting place for sheep. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet, rejoicing with all the malice of your heart against the land of Israel, therefore I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will wipe you out from among the nations and exterminate you from the countries. I will destroy you, and you will know that I am the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because Moab and Seir said, look, Judah has become like all the other nations. Therefore, I will expose the flank of Moab beginning at its frontier towns, Bet Jeshimoth, Baal Meon, and Kiriathaim, the glory of that land. I will give Moab along with the Ammonites to the people of the east as a possession, so that the Ammonites will not be remembered among the nations. And I will inflict punishment on Moab. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because Edom took revenge on Judah and became very guilty by doing so, therefore this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will stretch out my hand against Edom and kill both man and beast. I will lay it waste, and from Timan to Dedan they will fall by the sword. I will take vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they will deal with Edom in accordance with my anger and my wrath. They will know my vengeance, declares the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because the Philistines acted in vengeance and took revenge with malice in their hearts, and with ancient hostility sought to destroy Judah, therefore this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am about to stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will wipe out the Keretites and destroy those remaining along the coast. I will carry out great vengeance on them and punish them in my wrath. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I take vengeance on them. In the 11th month of the 12th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, because Tyre has said of Jerusalem, aha, the gate to the nations is broken, and its doors have swung open to me. Now that she lies in ruins, I will prosper. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I am against you, Tyre, and I will bring many nations against you, like the sea casting up its waves. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and pull down her towers. I will scrape away her rubble and make her a bare rock. Out in the sea she will become a place to spread fish nets, for I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. She will become plunder for the nations, and her settlements on the mainland will be ravaged by the sword. Then they will know that I am the Lord. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, from the north I am going to bring against Tyre Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots, with horsemen and a great army. He will ravage your settlements on the mainland with the sword. He will set up siege works against you, build a ramp up to your walls, and raise his shields against you. He will direct the blows of his battering rams against your walls and demolish your towers with his weapons. His horses will be so many that they will cover you with dust. Your walls will tremble at the noise of the war horses, wagons and chariots, when he enters your gates as men enter a city whose walls have been broken through. The hooves of his horses will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your wealth and loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and demolish your fine houses and throw your stones, timber, and rubble into the sea. I will put an end to your noisy songs, and the music of your harps will be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock, and you will become a place to spread fish nets. You will never be rebuilt, for I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to Tyre. Will not the coastlands tremble at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan and the slaughter takes place in you? Then all the princes of the coast will step down from their thrones and lay aside their robes and take off their embroidered garments. Clothed with terror, they will sit on the ground, trembling every moment, appalled at you. Then they will take up a lament concerning you and say to you, how you are destroyed, city of renown, peopled by men of the sea. You were a power on the seas, you and your citizens. You put your terror on all who lived there. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. The islands in the sea are terrified at your collapse. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When I make you a desolate city, like cities no longer inhabited, and when I bring the ocean depths over you and its vast waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pits, to the people of long ago. I will make you dwell in the earth below, as in ancient ruins, with those who go down to the pit, and you will not return or take your place in the land of the living. I will bring you to a horrible end, and you will be no more. You will be sought, but you will never again be found, declares the Sovereign Lord. Hebrews 11, 1 through 16. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understood that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Psalm 110 of David, a psalm. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. Arrayed in holy splendor, your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high. Proverbs 27:14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. So yesterday in Hebrews, we reach this point where, like, the implications of the argument being laid out, the implications of the gospel become clear. Because of Jesus, we as individual people can boldly go into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence directly as righteous sons and daughters. So today we're turning a corner and beginning to discuss, like, what is needed, what's necessary to enter into that, into a personal relationship with God. And that is faith. Now, it's not as if we haven't been, like, interacting with this concept throughout the whole New Testament. We have definitely examined it lengthy all throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul. Hebrews, though, is the book that gives us this very famous definition. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. So, kind of breaking that down, faith is what allows us to see a reality and even begin to live into that reality, even though it has not yet reached its fullness or visibility or completion. It gives substance to what is unseen. If this is faith, then we have to admit that as human beings, we have the equipment. We are equipped for that. We all have faith in things we cannot see. Like love, for example. Can't see love? None of us would deny that love exists. Or what about tomorrow? We can't see that, but we're not really questioning whether it will come. So faith in our lives every single day is being expressed and exercised in one way or another. So the writer of Hebrews isn't trying to make an argument about whether or not faith exists. Like, very few people would argue that faith exists. The point was that faith had always been a part of the Hebrew story. And it was, in fact, the foundational, essential piece of the Hebrew story. It was something that preceded any other piece or ritual or behavior of the Hebrew story. It's the foundation stone. And making this point was really important to the writer of Hebrews. And that is why we began today to enter into, and we're going to walk down this over the next days, a section of the Bible that is famously known as the Hall of Faith. Right? So we heard it was by faith that Abel brought an more acceptable offering to God than Cain. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to a different land. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, even though she was barren. Like, those are the first steps in the Hall of Faith. And this will continue into tomorrow, but we can see what the author of Hebrews is doing here. He's simply beginning at the beginning of Genesis and starting to work forward from there through the stories that are found in the Hebrew scriptures, what we would know as the Old Testament, because Hebrews is written to Hebrews. So the writer is going through the Hebrew story starting from the beginning to reveal that faith had always been the essential foundational stone. It was always there, because entering into a new covenantal relationship that is being laid out in the book of Hebrews through Jesus was going to take what it had always taken faith. And it would take faith to hold onto that relationship no matter what came. So I guess one of the things we should understand then, with that in mind, is that this Hall of Faith isn't a list of people that were the exceptions to the rule. They are a list of people who serve as examples for all of us. Faith was the activator in their story. And we, as we walk a life of faith, aren't going to get anywhere without faith. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: it's impossible to please God without faith. Anybody that wants to come to God, first of all, has to believe that God exists and that he will reward those who sincerely seek him. So may we think about what we're putting our faith in today, because we are exercising faith in one direction or another. And maybe at times, and I definitely can relate, feel as if like faith is wearing pretty thin. A lot of times that's because we have our faith in a certain kind of outcome. We have an expectation that God will do something specific on our behalf, and we expect it in a certain way, which isn't necessarily wrong. We are absolutely in need of the involvement of God in our lives, but when our faith is in an expectation, then it's not in God. So our faith will have to have a long view that goes way beyond even what we may ever see in this lifetime, as is laid out in the Hall of Faith. It hopes beyond our earthly life and reaches for God alone. So, Father, as we explore faith, we invite your Holy Spirit to help us examine our own, what we would call our faith, and what it's in, and what it's applied to, and what it's pulling our heart towards. Because putting our faith in anything less than you, with no expectations, is gonna pull us in directions that will probably eventually pull us apart, if not destroy us. Because eventually we will have our faith in some kind of idol or another. And we have seen where that road goes. And it leads only to destruction and exile. So Holy Spirit, as we do this examination in the book of Hebrews, help us to really see clearly and ask the right questions, the honest questions of ourselves. Where is our faith? We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base. Daily Audio Bible app, that is home base as well. Get connected, be connected, stay connected as we continue to navigate the remaining weeks and days of this 20th year together. So starting to feel kind of back now. We were gone, really traveling aggressively for 4 weeks, and really pretty much did about 90% of what happens in the New Testament as far as like visiting these locations. And then Jill wasn't feeling well, and so we're looking forward to kind of coming back, having a little debrief. We were even talking about like doing a live, maybe inviting some questions and stuff. So we'll get back to you on that. Just starting to feel like the jet lag and the fatigue of it all is getting back in order. But I'm so grateful for the journey that we had together. I'm grateful that we could do it together as a community. And grateful for the community. And so the community section, actually, at the website or on the app. That is where the prayer wall lives. That is a resource that is always available to us, always. Never off, always on, no matter the time zone, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on. It's a place we can always reach out. Community section is also the place to find all the different social media links for the places that we participate. And so definitely encourage you along those lines if you are in those spaces. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I'm calling in with a prayer request. And I'm not going to lie, this is going to be just a little jumbled. The Lord has been pressing on me for honestly weeks now to call in and ask for prayer for my upcoming divorce. And this has been this process basically started, this upcoming March will be 6 years ago with my husband divulging about an affair. And we tried to work it out. We've been separated now for 3 years, but neither here nor there. The divorce process is now starting and right around the corner. And I've been putting off this prayer and putting off this prayer because, you weigh your prayers right to other prayers and say, oh, well, my situation isn't nearly as bad as theirs and I want to lift them up. And that's more important and more pressing, right? Like we can actually really judge like the Lord judges, right? But so silly. But at any rate, as I'm sitting here, not having the words because I'm not even really quite sure what I'm asking for. The Lord really just divulged. It's really about taking off the mask and being vulnerable. And laying down my pride and saying, I need help. Even if it's just in the form of a prayer, I really just pray for open, soft hearts during this divorce process. That my ex and I can just remain to be good co-parents for my son. There's no winning or losing. It's a divorce. Let's face it, nobody wins. I really, really, really just want open, soft hearts. So if you could just pray for that, maybe whatever else the Holy Spirit presses it on your heart, but wow, how the Lord pulls us to vulnerability, right? Thank you so much for your prayers. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Salutations, Dab family. I'm here to pray for one of our Dabbers. Heavenly and gracious Father, I come before you this morning, kneeling before your throne. I want to lift up to you Gloria, a mother whose heart is broken and sick over what she sees happening to her daughter, Vanessa. Lord, I also want to lift up Vanessa to you. You know that she was brought up in your word, Lord, and she has chosen to walk away. Father God, I ask, Lord, that you would walk with her even though she's walking in the darkness. Lord, I ask that you would show her the depths that she needs to see. Just like me, when I was there and my mama was down on her knees praying for me and she prayed and prayed, Lord, you got a hold of my heart and you brought me out of that lifestyle, Lord. I was homeless. I was a drug addict. And I was such a horrible, horrible person. Father, the things that I had done, Lord, I ask that you would walk with Vanessa and protect her from these things, Lord. Reach her heart, Keep reaching out for her, Lord. Remind her the life that she had with you, Father. I ask that somebody would be sent to her to remind her, like was reminded to me, that you are a perfect gentleman and you are waiting for the invite. Lord, help her to be sick of her lifestyle. I ask this in Jesus' name and I pray, amen.
Hey guys, it's your Eyes of a Dove. Wanted to send out a thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of you on the Facebook and my personal page that prayed for me as I had an unexpected layoff from Prime Electric due to lack of work. But you know, it was amazing because in the layoff meeting, I had such compassion for my safety director. I know that it was a difficult decision for him and he did not want to have to let me go. I knew that emphatically and I asked him if he was going to be okay. And the HR guy, he's such a great guy too. I pray for them both. I believe they both know the Lord. So it was pretty cool layoff where I wasn't crying and traumatized. And I knew in my heart that I would be rehirable, and they confirmed that. They wrote me the most amazing letter of recommendation I've ever seen in my life. It's stupendous. And he personally put calls in to a national general contractor, PCL, for me to get a higher position than what I currently have for a much greater pay. And in fact, I had an interview yesterday with them and it went so well. It went 45 minutes overtime. We were laughing and there was three of them, one of me, and God gave me peace in that as well. And during that time, I've been helping my husband with his tree service business and he's been trying to hard sell me to stay working with him. But I really feel led by God to be in safety right now. And I asked my husband to pray and ask the Lord about that because that's where I feel like God is leading me. I get to pray for people in the field and effectively help save their lives. And regardless if I made more money with my husband, I feel God is calling me into that field. So we'll see. We'll see. They said it went really great and they'll get a hold of me early next week praying for a good job offer. I love you guys. Have a great day. Be blessed.
Hello, everyone. This is Juliet. I don't normally do this. I'm normally a listener, but after hearing this woman's prayer request, the Holy Spirit just really prompted me to start praying for her. It was a woman who was crying out, who was praying for her daughter, who left the house and who's out in the street, who's dealing with drugs, and who chose to do that and left the Lord. And when I heard the mother cry out that way, it just made me like the Holy Spirit was like, nope, you're going to start praying for her and you're going to say on the recording that encourage the mom that somebody is praying for her daughter. So I just wanted to let you know, if hopefully one day you're listening to this recording and you know that someone is praying fearlessly for your daughter and for you as well, for your whole family, that your whole family will be strengthened, that God will restore your daughter back to Christ and back to the home, and that you, through this situation, will grow in Christ and will allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. And yet you will cast all your anxieties onto the Lord because he cares for you as well. Thank you.